to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. It is Tuesday, May 29th, the day after Memorial Day. I hope everybody had a great, safe Memorial Day weekend. We had a big weekend of sporting events, so many different sporting events. Locally, we had the Indianapolis 500. You had Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. You had Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. You had Game 1 of the Stanley Cup. You had the NASCAR Coke 600, I guess, if you want to go down that route as well. But a lot of different sporting events, and a lot of the sports are winding up here shortly. So you won't have much besides golf and baseball, really, over the summer to hold you over. But fear not. We are 99 days away from the start of the NFL football season. So 99 days before the Thursday night football game. Between the Philadelphia Eagles and I'm not sure who, but the Eagles will start the season out on that Thursday night for football. A little bit of today's show, we will have a special guest again, Jonathan Birdsong, our NBA guru, join us. He will be calling in shortly, and we will be recapping the Eastern and Western Conference Finals, and then previewing the NBA Finals that will be starting up on this Thursday night. We'll also go into a little bit of the NBA news for this past week, recapping the Indy 500. Like I said, this past weekend, I'll be recapping the Indy 5 with kind of my whole experience I had. I spent a lot of time out at the track. It was a lot of fun, a lot of new things I learned. So we'll kind of be recapping that a little bit. And then we'll probably be ending the show a little early tonight. With that, but until we get Jonathan the call here shortly, I'll kind of just go a little bit into the Indy 500, the month of itself, kind of what I experienced and stuff. So showing up, getting media credentials for the first time to the track, finding out exactly where to park at. That was a quest in itself, finding, outside parking really close to the track. Showing the media credentials to get in, and then just finding out exactly where to go at IMS was a treat itself. And the first time I walked in there, I believe it was one of the practice days. I believe it was Tuesday. So I took my buddy Sean Doherty with me to the track. We walked in, went over towards the media center wall area where it was. I went up there just to check it out, find out where my seat was and where I was going to be at. You want to talk about dirty looks that I received when I walked in there, and I was dressed nice. I had, golf shorts on and an Indianapolis Motor Speedway Nike golf polo. So I wasn't out of the entire, looking completely bad. So, but why walking in there and found out and, got my desk real close to some of the ESPN guys and some of the Racer magazine guys, you know, and then 1070, the fan behind me. It was a little overwhelming at first in some of the looks. But you know what? They're there to do their thing. I'm there to do my thing. And I enjoyed it. I met a couple different people while I was up there, which was great. It was great to network, finding out when you get your credentials and stuff going down, where exactly you get to go. I already knew you got the pit access. I already knew I got garage access. So that was, fun on its own, but just exactly how close to the track I could get, I found out I can get pretty close compared to most people. I could get onto the track at different times, onto pit road during the qualifications, going to victory lane, getting inside victory lane for the media row there during the after qualification run. So it was definitely fun to be a part of in learning. I was there for the two practice days and then two qualification days there. So it was fun to talk to the guys, talk to the drivers who were very nice, except for Danica. Danica was acting like a total pain in the ass there. So, but overall, I thought it was a real good good event that we had there. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to real quick. We're going to run an ad, and then we'll bring Jonathan Birdsong on, and we'll talk our NBA. Today's show is brought to you by Drone Pro Media. Drone Pro Media delivers top quality drone services with expertise and professionalism. Specializing in aerial photography and videography using the highest quality drone equipment, Drone Pro Media is eager to provide you with outstanding aerial videos and photos for your next project. Visit them at dronemedia.com. That's DroneProMedia.com. Also, give them a call at 317-883-7404. That's Drone Pro Media, taking your flights to new heights. All right, and that's Drone Pro Media. Shout out to our producer, Aaron Charles, on that. Jonathan Birdsong, my man, how are you?
Brandon Reeve, how are we doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome. Thanks for coming again, man. All right, we're set. We've got our NBA Finals matchup. Probably, you know, we should have seen it coming from the last 3 years and stuff. But we'll dive into each conference individually. Absolutely. But overall, what do you think?
Overall, I wasn't too disappointed in the conference finals. LeBron turned another gear as what he's capable of doing. Boston didn't play a really good game. Tatum showed his tremendous upside that he has. But Brown and Rozier are like virtual no shows the last the game seven, and I'm sure those individuals are working their games during the summer and work on. I'm also sure Danny will work on making whatever roster improvements that he can. And of course, their main goal is having a healthy Kyrie going into the playoff next year, and definitely having a healthy Gordon Hayward to help with their depth. Game seven for Cleveland. The block by LeBron. That was
wow.
Awesome. I mean, I can't short sell that for nothing. That was awesome. And then Boston hung in there for a while, and like I said, he kind of just took over, and then he got a little bit of help from I know everybody on the roster, right? But he got some help from some journeyman players, and they squeaked it out. So kudos to LeBron for making another finals run, not another finals appearance.
Eight straight.
That's. I mean, I know you can't win them all, but he somehow finds a way to at least get there to put himself and his team, whatever team that he's playing on, in a position to win them all. So, kudos to LeBron. If they didn't have already cast the votes for postseason MVP, I'm sure he'd be the MVP of the league.
Absolutely. I watched, you know, the majority. I think I watched almost 80% of the games. One of them I fell asleep on. I think it was game two when Boston was blowing them out. But, you know, after game two, you look at that series, I thought, damn, Boston is just – LeBron – Cleveland might get one at home, and Boston being just a better team in general. But, by the time the series kept going on and it got to game six, I said if Boston doesn't win game six, I don't see them winning game seven, because obviously, you know, face LeBron. What, LeBron's 10-0 in game sevens, I think.
Something like that. Everybody's saying he's not, for all the folks who say he's not clutch, he's like 10-0 in game seven. So,
And even during that fourth game or the game seven, I watched the first half and I thought, okay, you know, LeBron's tiring out, it looks like, and everything. I fell asleep with like 5 minutes into the third, and then I woke up the start of the fourth, and then the cold shoot. I look like Boston fell asleep too with their cold shooting. Rozier was 2 of 14 shooting overall, 0 for 10 from three. Jaylen Brown, they fell way too in love with that 3-pointer, 3 of 12 for him.
we'll talk about who fell in love with the 3-pointers in this next year. But one more comment about Boston, like that kid Tatum. I almost wish he stayed at Duke, because it'd probably be different circumstances in the Final Four this past year. That kid has stayed at Duke. That kid is like Mamba Junior, and obviously he's listened. Like I know Kobe, there was prior to game six, game seven, you know, Kobe breaking down stuff for ESPN. And, you know, guys listen to that stuff. I mean, Kobe Bryant, everybody's got their own Rushmore or whatever, right? But, you know, if Kobe, a legend, let's just call it what it is. If Kobe, a legend, starts making positive comments about you, I mean, you're more apt to listen to it. And, like, Ainge, like I said, he had the I was high on Tatum. I thought he should at least win number two in this year's draft. I don't know why he, you know, I don't know why, it, you know, seemingly these drafts, these drafts get built and, you know, people say Fultz is number one and Ball's number two. And I kind of know why Ball's number two. I get it. You know what I'm saying? He has a markability out there in L.A. and his father's got a big mouth and, you know, it brings attention to the team and whatnot. But, like, how an NBA scout couldn't see what Tatum could be, you know what I mean? Early on, I don't know how. Ainge is just a little bit better than everybody else with his scouting, but that kid's got a tremendous upside that I wouldn't. I know there's been rumblings. You know, I listen to all type of draft. Trade rumblings a lot off season, like what teams are wanting to do, and you know, there's rumor that Kawhi coming out east or whatever. I wouldn't trade Tatum or Brown, and even though Brown had a, you know, he had a decent series against Cleveland, cause, but he had yeah. he had a you know he had a pretty killer, I would say he had a pretty killer postseason, you know, coming out party somewhat because a lot of people saw him as a key reserve, and like now, I think it's going to be a logjam when and if Gordon Hayward comes back. Like, who you start, who you sit, who, you know what I mean? I know Gordon's the money man, but goodness gracious, you can't let these two guys. Is you know, got screens and they can do just as much as Gordon can do, if not more. But their depth next year is going to be key, and for them going, you know, deep into the playoffs. But like I said, that kid's just got it. That kid Tatum's just got it, and like you can't just turn the keys over to him just yet. Like, you know, it's too. I mean, and of course it's still technically Kyrie's team and whatnot. But like I said, that kid's just got it. So I'm. They have a very bright in Boston. Looking at some numbers earlier on this afternoon, I know Smart, who's also a key reserve for him, is a restricted free agent, and they're looking at giving him like a bump up of like between $6 and $7 million. But he's looking for like starter money, so that might be somebody they technically lose. That'd be unfortunate, but that's just how business works. You know what I mean?
I got a place for him to go. I got a place that's right down the road here.
Well, I, Brandon, I get, I'm like you, man. I want all the good players to come to Pacers as well. But I think we kind of locked in with Collison and Corey Joseph as our backcourt.
Okay, that's good as your backcourt.
Unless they want to deal one of them away or something like that, I think we're kind of locked in with our backcourt.
Smart reminds me of a Lance Stephenson. Like he reminds me almost the same exact player.
He does. He plays with a lot of energy. Plays on the edge. You know what I mean? Will take a bump in the chin, or flop a chin. You know what I mean? A flop in the chin or whatnot. But he can play either guard position. So he's pretty good. And he's a pretty good defender. With that streaky shooter, so I can definitely see the Lance compare. I would say he's a little bit better than Lance as far as his where his head's at, as far as how the tempo of the game and staying in control of his emotions.
Yeah, I think if you can trade the Boston top 10 pick this year, Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown to San Antonio, I think you pull that trigger if you can. I think Smart would fit in down there in San Antonio. I mean, you could get Kawhi out of that, but I think if you trade those three, depends if San Antonio values that top 10 pick. I think, they got number nine or something?
Yeah, I would imagine Kawhi, they ain't giving Kawhi a Leonard away. So they would probably a little bit more. They would want more than just Marcus Smart and Brown. Like I said, I'm not down on Brown, but I know Kawhi Leonard is, you know, a little bit different stratosphere than where Brown's playing at right now. And if they got Kawhi, they definitely be, you know, heads and heels as a key team that's going to win the East, if not, you know, ready to beat the Warriors, if the Warriors come in intact themselves next year. So,
yeah, Boston's got they have a solid team. They're going to be fine next year when everybody comes back. Tatum being that young guy. You know, I was interested. I looked at the stat line from Game 7. Cleveland had 12 turnovers. Boston only had 5. And Tatum had 4 of the 5. But usually when you don't, you have that less turnovers, you win. But I guess when you shoot 17% from the three-point line and 7 of 39, you don't really give yourself an opportunity to win there. And then, you know, Cleveland didn't do too well themselves. They shot 9 of 35. So, I just think it's the LeBron factor.
Rozier and Brown and even Horford picked the wrong time to have a bad game, because if you go back and look at their runs against Milwaukee and their runs against Philadelphia, you know, everybody who's, you know, a couch coach or a couch GM or whatever, right, was guaranteeing that the Greek Freak was going to outplay Horford, and it didn't happen. They guaranteed that was the big guy from Philadelphia, everybody loves, Embiid. They guaranteed Embiid was going to outplay Horford, and it didn't happen. And, like, we all know now today, and we all know that we also know that past Game 7, that LeBron James is a different animal than anybody I just named. So you got to be, as the old quote Ric Flair said from when he was in his Horseman days, you better be on your best day, brother, because he's the best. He's the best. So,
yeah. Second highest payroll on second highest paid player on your team, Kevin Love, didn't even play. Concussion.
Right.
And I thought it was going to be tough for him. Obviously, that first half, no Love, but I mean, there you go. Former Celtic Jeff Green, 19 points, 8 rebounds. He stepped up for them. JR didn't do much. George Hill didn't do much. George Hill had 6 points, but it was plus 24 when he was on the court, you know, so,
right.
and that's key. They only played 8 players.
Right. I don't even think Clarkson played.
He played 9 minutes. That was it, looks like.
Okay.
But I think the number one player, hustling player that they showed is funny on the Instagram photo after the game sweating was Kendrick Perkins. And if you go back and watch, it's funny because he's actually posing with the trophy, and somebody said, when they buy a bottle, but you don't pitch in for the bottle, but you still want that Instagram pic. And it showed him holding that trophy. But if you go back and look at the game, he stood the entire game. And when the Celtics were on offense in front of them and on the court, he was yelling out switches and screens. That's all he did. The entire game was yell out switches and screens. And, you know, I feel like he coached more than Tyronn Lue in that game.
I was going to say, maybe Perkins got a future in coaching. Who knows?
Yeah, he absolutely may. You know, LeBron now, he's played 100 and I think 101 or 102 games this season now. He played all 82 and then all these playoff games.
Right.
Here's an interesting stat, Jonathan. I know me and you have talked before in the past, and I don't want to get into it because too many people already on ESPN and Fox Sports and all this get into it, but it's a pretty impressive stat that's kind of eye-opening, but they're two different eras, okay? Of the 6 opponents that Michael faced in the NBA, and Michael Jordan, this Michael, in the NBA Finals, only 9 of them are Hall of Famers. LeBron, so far, in his 8 trips to the Finals, he's faced 26 Hall of Famers. So
okay.
I think people saying, you know, LeBron, if he loses this one, that's 6 finals losses now for him or so like that. I think it's impressive. You're facing a hell of a lot more Hall of Famers and a lot better players than what MJ faced.
I always sum it up like this. Like, you know, Charles Barkley lost against Michael Jordan, what I think in 92, 93, something like that, I do believe, with the Phoenix Suns.
Yep.
The equivalent of the Golden State Warriors is if Charles Barkley went and played with Karl Malone, in his prime. Like, what would that team look like if Karl Malone and Charles Barkley teamed up? They basically teamed up to beat LeBron James. The 72-9 Golden State Warriors couldn't beat LeBron James and Oklahoma City Thunder with Harden and Westbrook. And there's other drama that would happen between Westbrook and Durant. But again, they basically teamed up because they couldn't beat this guy over here. So I look at it like that. But I also look at it, you know, not to be totally defeatist, because the Pacers, the team that I cheer for, haven't been to the finals since the year 2000. That's 18 seasons of sometimes missing the playoffs and B, not even having the opportunity to get to the championship. So I don't totally poo-poo LeBron James going to the finals and coming up short, even though, you know, he's going to be 8 times, with my personal opinion, not to, you know what I'm saying, jumpstart, go forward. I think they're going to eventually lose Golden State? Yeah, but, like, it's still in, it's like, wow, like, dude, any team that he's on is getting there.
Yeah.
Book it. You know what I'm saying?
You might as well. I mean, he's, I hate to say it, but
any team that he's on, he could join. Now he could join the Pacers. He could join Brooklyn. He could join, you know, Michael's team, Jordan's team, the Hornets, and he automatically turns him into a contender. And then come playoff time, he figures things out on the floor, and they make him a championship level team.
Yeah. Did you see Kobe Bryant's tweet Sunday night after at the end of the game? He said,
Kobe, that's very smart. Very smart tweet. Very smart. Of course, he got to get his own 2 cents in too. But very.
And
smart
I thought
tweet.
That was funny because, you know, and for the people listening who didn't see the tweet, Kobe Bryant tweeted at 11:30 on Sunday night after the game. He goes, "We can enjoy one without tearing one down. I love what he's doing. Don't debate what can't be definitively won by anyone. Hashtag enjoy my five. Hashtag enjoy MJ6. Hashtag enjoy LBJ quest." Now, here's my thing. Everybody talks about LeBron and Jordan, but I don't hear anybody talking about Kobe's five. I feel like he kind of had to get his own little push. And, hey, remember me. Kobe's still
right
up here.
There are Kobe Bryant teams that were, quote-unquote, lesser because he didn't have Gasol, he didn't have Shaq, you know what I mean, didn't have the running partner with him, that he got to the playoffs, but they eventually, like, lost to the Suns in the quarterfinals or something like that. So
that was Rajah Bell game, I think.
there were times when, you know, like I said, who was – I think D'Antoni was the coach of the Phoenix Suns during those years too. So we all, you know, I'm not to disrespect Kobe in any way. I won't put him on the same level as LeBron James, even with the championship rings, the plus two that he has over LeBron. Like, you know, everything doesn't bog down to championship rings. And, you know, quite honestly, Brandon, when they start talking about Jordan versus Kobe versus LeBron, there's a whole lot of other basketball that we forget about, of great players that play, who have won championships and some who haven't, that people just automatically disassume. You know what I mean? The arguments, I guess the generational arguments, they're fun. You know what I mean? Arguing with your brother, arguing with your cousin, arguing with your buddy. But, like, everybody talks about, Kobe can talk about his five, but what about the other five that Tim Duncan got while he was getting his five? You see what I'm saying? And I know Tim Duncan's not a sensational – or athlete, you know what I mean, the way Spurs plays, not as, you know what I mean, it's not as spectacular as how, you know, Jordan or Kobe got played, but they just got it done, and he was the catalyst in getting it done.
Yeah,
so,
it's definitely not the NBA fine number of titles you win, because if you did, we'd be talking about Bill Russell. He won 12.
Right.
You know,
he'd right,
be the best
right.
player of all
and
time.
But you know what, since I've been alive, I've never really had a black and white TV, so I can't really count for Bill Russell.
You know, the only thing I don't like debating the Jordan, obviously the Jordan LeBron, because two different eras, two different sets of the league was played. Basketball was played a whole different way back then compared to what it is now.
Correct.
You know, but there is
no hand checking now.
Correct.
There's basically no hand checking now. And I'm not saying any of those guys couldn't play right now, but there's a lot of guys. Then the league is more athletic right now, for sure. To where, not that this is, you know, I'm not saying white man can't jump. Love the movie, but you know, I don't know if Craig Elo gets the minutes in this league that he got in the league 25 years ago. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Long guy, great defender. You know what I'm saying? Could hit an open jump shot. Obviously, pretty good. I mean, I know Elo's. That's pretty good at the free throw line, but I just don't see he's limited athletically against, you know, somebody like, who would he have to be guard today? Westbrook. You know what I mean? good luck with that.
How do you think Allen Iverson would do right, like, the last couple of years in this league compared to, like, Westbrook?
And stuff?
Yeah.
Allen Iverson, Allen Iverson, Allen Iverson, pretty good question, Brandon. Allen Iverson could hang in this league. But
I feel like he did a little bit, but I think he would. I think he'd handle them.
Come up short. I think he still come up short. He's, you know, ball dominant. Well, you know, scoring dominant anyway. And he'd have to have a special team built around him, which would technically alienate other. You know, I mean, it did in his early years in Philadelphia when he had Stackhouse. Organization said they couldn't play together. That's why the Stackhouse bounced around to a couple places. But yeah, I think Allen Iverson for sure can play in this league for sure.
I do like the, and I love people that know their basketball. And there was a YouTube or Facebook video that's made its ways years after years, last couple of years with about LeBron James. And there's a guy on there that talks about, you know, we're going to sit there and talk about LeBron, but let's talk about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan didn't even make the playoffs the first 3 years of in the league. And then when he went to the league,
you know,
the first year he faced.
People, because we live in a media, it's a media sensitive world now, and everybody, you know, I mean, everybody's media savvy. Everybody wants to come out with the first, hey, did you know this? Did you know that? Right.
Right.
Thankfully, for Michael Jordan, in Michael Jordan's case, he didn't have Twitter, he didn't have three ESPNs, he didn't have a Fox Sports and whatnot. So, like a factoid, I didn't even know this till here. I'll be honest with you, here recently. I was like in the sixth grade. So the 66 point game that Michael Jordan has, and Larry Bird says it's like playing God, et cetera, et cetera. We all know that fable, that story, right? Well, guess what? They still swept the Bulls. They swept the Bulls in 86. They swept them in the playoffs, swept them. Matter of fact, Larry Bird owns, like, Michael Jordan never beat Larry Bird in the playoff game, ever. So they swept him 86-03, and of course it was a little bit different back then, where it was best out of five, right? But
right.
They also came back and swept him in 87. So a lot of people I get into debates. I used to anyway, right? About LeBron James losing to Tim Duncan, and that's like, you know, everybody still holds that as a loss for LeBron James. Like, well, dude, who was beating the Spurs team? Ginobili in his prime, Duncan in his prime. Tony Parker in his prime. Who's beating that team? You know what I mean? So the pushback, when I tell old heads, right, about, as you know, they love Michael Jordan and love Chicago Bulls and we'll never let it go. I was like, so what happened when he met Larry Legend in 86 and 87? And then his Houston's come out. Well, you know what I mean? Scottie Pippen was young. Horace Grant wasn't on the team yet. You know, same thing. If Michael Jordan's a GOAT, which – you know, I don't get caught up in the monikers. He's a GOAT. He's a GOAT. You know what I mean?
Right.
He is, and I can go into why he is. You know what I mean? But literally, remember, if you're going to tell me about his greatness, tell me that he also – remember that he also was 0-6 against the Celtics in the playoffs. So
– yeah. Yeah, I put them all three on the – I think we should just enjoy what we've got with everybody. Put them on top of the
Mount
Rushmore.
Absolutely.
for us to see
hurt.
Two of them in our generation, that's, you know, hey, before that,
yeah.
There wasn't much. I mean, you had your Wilt and whatnot, but, you know, it's, Jordan's first 3 years in the league, three games.
Yeah, to ordain, you forget about the special that Magic Johnson brought. If you just talk about Michael Jordan and LeBron James, forget about how Magic Johnson was special. He won 5 championships, but heck, he went to 9 finals. You know what I mean? So people tend to forget about in their argument. They forget as a whole. Like, appreciate basketball for what it's worth. The greatness of basketball for what it's worth.
Absolutely. So, Cavs knock off the Celtics 4-3, advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. They will be meeting after last night's game. The Golden State Warriors, Jonathan and I said it was never in doubt. All series long, trust the process. This Houston team was a facade. They were a fake team. D'Antoni, they're never going to make it, ever. And I sent you a tweet yesterday. If I'm Chris Paul, my ass is playing in that game. I don't care if it's a grade 2, grade 3, grade 4 strain. You play until they get you off the court because you may not make it again.
Right.
There's no guarantee they're going to be to the Western Conference Finals next year.
Right.
You know?
It was unfortunate, very unfortunate, because you know what? They could have won. They really could have won. And, you know, Charles Barkley had a quote saying, jacking up threes against lesser teams. He called out Orlando Magic, Brooklyn, and the Phoenix Suns. You can still get wins because the talent level on those teams, it, you know what I'm saying, affords you to that, you know, you can go, you know, 9 for 45 or whatever they were against.
Right.
Against, I don't even think they were 9 for 45 against last night. If that is
7 of 44.
Yeah, I knew it was close. That was hard to watch because when Harden went left, they didn't have an answer for him.
Correct.
When he drove
and
left,
Chris Webber kept calling it out. Him and Reggie.
Yeah. Yeah. When Harden went left, they had no answer for him. He could find Capella cutting, you know what I mean, to the basket. They had no answer for him. So I don't understand. I don't. It was like, it was like almost worse than watching AAU basketball. Like, he's like, I get it. You want to have confidence in your shooter. But, like, you're shooting and missing, and then Golden State goes down and hits a three-pointer or goes down and gets a bucket or goes down and gets fouled, and then you're still trying to hit a home run shot.
Yeah.
I don't understand it from the players on the floor's perspective. I don't understand it from the coach's perspective. I just don't. Because, again, you saw what I saw. Heck, they were there. If Golden State's gonna make a run. We all know this.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Several.
So you can, if you're up a double digits, you maybe can trade baskets with them if you're up double digits. But that the whole process in that equation is that you got to keep on scoring. They stop scoring. Defensively, that's one of the best. That's one of the best defensive teams that Tony probably ever had. He switched everything. He had guys. So if he got caught on the pick, guess what? Whoever was in front of Durant, you had to guard Durant the best you can. Whoever was in front of, you know, Draymond, you better guard Draymond the best you can. Whoever, so on and so forth. So defensively, they kind of show. And then Golden State had issues with it. Small issues, but Golden State had issues with it.
Right.
But offensively, to just keep on shooting three after three, Ariza, who makes like $32 million, not a year, but he's got a $32 million contract a year. He went 0 for 12. Now, this is a dude who used to be critical. I know he's younger. He was a critical shot maker for the Lakers. I know it was years ago, but shot maker for the Lakers years ago. He go 0
Eric
for
Gordon.
12.
Eric Gordon 2 of 12 for 3. Eric Gordon, when he missed, he didn't miss, just like barely. He would drill the backboard or an air ball, and I haven't seen somebody miss that bad in a long time.
Yeah, they didn't.
Harden, 2 of 13.
They didn't wise up. They wised up. They started driving the ball to the basket. I think the Harden had to sit down. They started driving to the ball to the basket, but by then it was too late. It was too late. So I don't understand. And I haven't heard the press conference. I haven't heard anything from D'Antoni or Harden this afternoon or anything. Or what excuse or like what happened, but that was just like bad basketball. Like they were up, everybody was, the whole place was rocking and rolling. Fans were into it. They were into it. Heck, they were shooting the gap, playing defense, and then they just kept on trying to hit home runs, but you know, quote unquote, and like that just plays okay. Anybody could have came. I know LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers were hoping Houston was going to win because that's easy way to They start off hot and can't finish ball games.
Yeah. I mean, they shot also 13 of 22, 59% from the free throw line, Houston. And I'm going to call out two plays. Number one, I believe it was the second quarter. Golden State scored on a two-point basket, I think, from Klay Thompson. And Houston inbounds the ball and a nonchalant pass that I feel like three recent Rockets guys just watched the ball roll. And Stephen Curry picks it up and just drills another three. So there's a swing right there. The second one, and you know, this one I'm going to put in Houston's favor. This one's not against them, but Harden had that four-point play. Jonathan, the guy fouled him. If you want to talk about protecting a shooter when he's going up or going down, that's the definition. And when Scott Foster just said, nope, that's a foul, but it's not a four-point play because whatever reason – I had a problem with the officiating last night, not because of the calls they did make or they did not make, but the inconsistency of the ones they would, and then they didn't the next quarter or so. That was why I had a problem with the game last night.
Yeah, that was somewhat mind-boggling. I'm gonna say somewhat mind-boggling because I don't get too crazy about officiating. I really just don't, because officiating works both ways. You know what I'm saying? It really just does. Sometimes, like a lot of times, a lot of those step backs for Harden are travels.
Oh, absolutely. That's letter of the law. Everything one of those is a travel.
They kind of took their whistle on that too. It still doesn't, even with all quote unquote the bad, because a bad officiating that didn't go in Houston's favor. A reason, again, we can go back to, I won't pick on the reasons alone, but the whole team went, what was the stat? 7 for 44?
7 to 44, yep.
That's
15%.
Horrible. Out of three, that's horrible. Why? You shouldn't take 44 threes in three games.
Yeah.
But let's go 7 for 44. So it was just bad basketball. I think Houston will try to bring everybody back together next year.
Mm-hmm.
They need to figure out some depth, because bringing Joe Johnson off the bench, like he didn't have anything. He didn't have anything to offer. If you can figure out an upgrade for Ariza and not re-sign him, because I think he's a restricted as well, then I say you go in a different direction, because I don't like it. They can still win a whole bunch of games next year. They still go 60-22 next year and still be in a position to try to beat the Warriors again. But if they don't change their mental makeup of like, you don't have to shoot it. You're not going to out-gunsling the gunslingers, one. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if they go about that way of trying to win basketball games, you're not going to beat Golden State 140-80. It's not going to happen. I know technically somebody did. I know Utah beat in its regular season game, but regular season intensity and playoff intensity are two different animals.
Yeah.
And you're not gonna,
I was just
like,
looking.
You're not going to blow them dudes out. You're not going to blow them. They're too good. They are too good. You're not going to blow them out by 30 or 40 points in a playoff game. You're just not.
Yeah. And, you know, you said, you know, all season long they've been shooting the three ball, and they can miss three-pointers and be okay against an Orlando or a Brooklyn team. And, you know, if it's not working in the playoffs, you need to find another step. I'm sitting here looking at stats right now. James Harden, 52 of 174 for 29% from three this playoffs. Trevor Ariza, 26 of 91 for 28%. Eric Gordon, 43 of 130. Three-point
range.
That's
just bad basketball.
Chris Paul,
and they had
37%. Gerald Green, your boy, 27 of 72.
He's streaky, super streaky.
Yeah, so they just, they got to, I don't know, they got to change their concept, and I don't know if that means D'Antoni's job's going to be safe, I think, for another year until they do the same crap
Absolutely.
All over again next year.
It's probably from a player's perspective, it's probably loads of fun. It seems that D'Antoni is a player's coach. I know he had a bit of an issue in New York and he rubbed Carmelo Anthony the wrong way, you know, but it's obviously a fun playing in his system. It's a run and gun system. You know what I mean? Just don't worry about defense. It's not important. Well, if you're trying to win, it's important. And if you're trying to win, you know, ISO basketball is only going to get you so far.
Right. Yeah. I was watching the game and I kept thinking, waiting. I kept seeing on Twitter people bashing Kevin Durant and Durant just not doing anything. Durant's not the clutch player, not the lead player. I don't know if he read tweets at halftime or whatnot, but my God, Kevin Durant came alive. And oh boy, KD. My gosh, he just made his case for playoffs MVP off that performance, and Steph and them can thank him for that. And I really thought the Golden State was initially in trouble a little, but not in doubt beginning of the game when Klay Thompson had those quick three fouls. I didn't know what the hell Kerr was thinking to keep him in after two. And then he picks up that third one less than 4 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
So So
this team is better when Draymond Green closes his mouth and is plays the glue guy that he is. This team is tremendously better. And that's kind of what he did. That's kind of what he did yesterday. Didn't try to become a deterrent, didn't try to be quote unquote dirty or edgy. He just kind of just did what Draymond Green does. I still believe that Steph makes this team go. He kind of got exposed, and that might be something that some other coach, if he's bright enough, Tyronn Lue, he can pick up on. Like, dude, you got to go at Steph, even if you ain't got the offense to go at Steph. You got to go at him. You got to bump him on screens. You got to bump. You might have to get a little chippy with him. You know, I mean, if you're trying to win, I'm not saying you hurt him, but you kind of got to go at him in order to win. In order to win a game. Steph is the leader of this team. When Steph gets hot, that's when the whole dynamic of the team changes. It really does. Of course, you give Durant credit, and he did hit a lot of shots. But when Steph hits shots and is driving to the bucket and he's making guys look silly because they're going one way, he's going another, it changes the whole dynamic. But like I said, you have to make him work for it on both ends of the court, and that's something, like I said, Houston failed to do the last two halves, game six and game seven in the second half.
Yeah, one thing about Harden, would you see him? I guess a two part question. First part, would you start a team with James Harden on your team? And secondly, I guess it's not really a question. It's more of a statement. Jonathan, I don't think Harden is trying to feel like be a LeBron. I don't think he's a team leader. He's obviously not a team leader, I don't think. He's just a scorer that's on a good team. That he helps the team by being a scorer, but he's not a good leader, communicator, that like LeBron is. Or you see some of these other guys that are just like Oladipo or Kobe or even. But what's your thoughts on that with Harden?
So would I have Harden? Could you have Harden? Would I have Harden on my team? Yeah. Somebody asked me the same question. Like, what can Houston do to beat Golden State? I was like, trade Harden for Westbrook. Trade Harden back to Oklahoma City, because Westbrook, though they both are both hard to play with. If you can get Westbrook to buy into a system, like I don't think he buys into Billy Donovan's system. That's why they're out. You know what I mean? But just to buy into a system, you know what I mean? I think – but no, been all serious. I know – of course, we know they're not going to trade those two players. But Harden might be a – I'm not going to call him a two – he's not the Robin. I hate the terminology anyway. I think he's probably a 1B kind of guy. And you definitely need a 1A guy if you're trying to win. Again, I just dribble, and then shoot a three. Every time you – dribble going, piercing the defense, going to the basket, you're going to get fouled, or you're going to find, you know, somebody to pass to for a dunk or a layup. Every time, I won't say every, it's that 98% of the time. It's just hard to watch, but he gets caught up in, I gotta make you look bad type of basketball. I gotta shine isolation basketball, and that's why he's on the sideline. That's why he's going fishing.
yeah, I agree.
So I'd have him on my team. He just couldn't be. He's not the leader now. Chris Paul came over. Shoot, if everybody says Chris Paul's playing, it's a different team.
Yeah.
So he's not I can't say Harden's a bad player. You can't say he. We don't hear. I know he has some. He has some off the court issues, like with clubs and stuff like that, or whatnot. But like.
Who doesn't?
There's nothing like nobody is like no other player says I can't play with Harden, or you know, there's no grumblings of, you know what I mean, or they can't seemingly get somebody to come. There's other talent that wants to that Chris Paul wanted to come play with James Harden.
Yeah.
But he might be in the, and I can't even put Paul George in this category anymore after the season he had. He's in that little category of 1B kind of guys that you can't trust them, because once the going gets tough, they're going to do something that's not basketball in your favor at all.
Right. Okay. Okay. Well, we got our NBA Finals matchup. Don't wipe your eyes. It is a rematch of a rematch of a rematch of a rematch.
Of a rematch. Yeah.
Warriors Cavs, fourth straight year starting Thursday night. I don't know. It is what I'm not excited to see it, but I'll watch it. I wanted Golden State to win instead of Houston. The Warriors are opening up. This is the largest deficit an NBA Finals team has ever faced for a game one. Warriors are a 12-point favorite going into game one.
If you put $500 on the Warriors, you won't win but like 25.
Yeah, exactly. It's that big of a lopside. Are you excited for this series, or is it just another, I'll watch it and whatever happens, happens? Or I think it's going five. I'm going to say five
It'll
games.
I think it's going five. I don't know who's guarding LeBron James. I really don't. After watching Klay had his hands full with Eric Gordon. Drew Holiday gave it to Steph on, during their series. There might be a little bit some game blueprint of how to, beat the Golden State Warriors. Unfortunately, the Cavaliers do not have another guy. LeBron James can't play. He can't play. I say this, but he can't. He can't. He could probably turn in two special games for Cleveland. But beating them four times, he can't. There's something he can't do because it's too much firepower that they have.
I'm going to save this audio if he somehow pulls it off. I'm going to save this clip, this audio piece. I'm going to play it for you. If somehow he gets it done.
Yeah, well, that'd be fine. If he can play at a level like he played, when he the shot he hit against the Pacers or the dominance he showed against the Toronto Raptors or even like the huge block, like that, mm-hmm. those are, wow. You know what I mean? I think it's still Larry Bird had 100 years ago against Isaiah Thomas. Like, dude, nobody knew Larry Bird was that fast, one. And that's a similar type of play LeBron James is capable of doing, pretty much regularly. But like, it's Golden State. They're like the Avengers. It's like, it's not. If Golden State was a two horse team, I'd give them a chance to go seven, because LeBron James is that good. Let's say if Klay was off the team, and Draymond was off the team, they didn't have to. They didn't kind of really have the depth of David West and Iguodala, who I think will play later on, Thursday at least. And, even Swaggy P, that's
Swaggy.
A lot of depth.
Four games away, Swaggy P from winning the title.
but if it was just a team that was led by Durant and Steph, and it was just LeBron James and Kevin Love and the team that he has now, I would give Cleveland, a chance to go seven. But as it stands, the Golden State Warriors, just too good. I say Golden State, if they sweep the Cavaliers, they will be considered one of the greatest teams ever. Period.
Yep.
Period.
Yeah.
If they let LeBron be special, like one night in Cleveland, he can really be special, and Durant's off or something like that. And I mean, of course, I still think they're going to win or whatnot. But I said this a couple weeks ago. I said I don't think, and I know eras are different eras, and I don't know how we play it outside of the '88 Lakers. The Lakers, when Pat Riley came out and said we're going to come back here and do it again, and then they won. This is the championship game. This is the parade.
Right.
After they had already won the finals. And then he goes up on the podium. We're going to do it again. And then guess what? They go do it again. Outside of that specific Laker team, in my lifetime, that's the best team I've ever seen. Even over Jordan 72-10, even over Tim Duncan's five championships, even over Shaq and Kobe, that's the best team I've ever seen. Especially for somebody to say, hey, at the parade at the end of the season, we're going to win it again. And then actually go do it. That's some big kahunas there. But they'll be considered that. If they can sweep the Cavaliers, they'll be considered one of the greatest teams ever. Ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. They've got a hell of a squad. They put it all together. I don't know how much longer can this last? Is it?
Well, ultimately, it'll come down to greed, personal greed.
It comes down to money, absolutely.
We blast, including myself, we blast Kevin Durant for taking a pay cut and joining the Golden State Warriors and winning all these games and winning all these championships. And you know what I mean? But that's what we are. That's what people always say. Oh, man, I wish that so-and-so would take a pay cut and come pay for my team or so-and-so. You know what I mean?
Right.
But they got some decisions to make because I know some guys got extensions either coming or they got free agency coming in the final year. And even though everybody's happy and winning championships, if a team offers you, you know, there's a difference. Obviously, there's a difference in your lifestyle if you're making $14 million than if you're making – and the Lakers are paying you $33 per year. Like, it's a whole different set of – limousines and cars, which I guess, airplanes that you might want to buy. I don't know. I've never had.
Right.
But I would assume at some point, like, that, you know, they'll come out and PR and say, hey, I want to challenge myself. It'll basically be like, hey, it's great making $17 million and it's great, you know what I'm saying, winning championships. But at some point, you know, hey, I want to make just as much as the A-Dog on my team. And you know what? With that also comes A-Dog endorsements and everything
right.
else and limelight. So if Magic swings and misses and doesn't get LeBron, I don't think it would be a big panic because, again, it's L.A. And, Klay Thompson's father played for the Lakers many, 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 many years ago. I think he'll go. Or even Pat. Pat will figure out. Pat Riley down in Miami. Somebody's going to figure out how to get a piece of that pie. The Knicks with their crazy ownership and deep pockets. But see, that's the thing. They got crazy ownerships, and sometimes it seems like they don't know what to do. But they got deep pockets. And New York is like, you know, it's the mecca of basketball. You know what I mean? So, and if you can win there with your $30 million, you know, you're living rarefied air.
Yeah, I agree.
Somebody's gonna get a piece of that pie, bro. Promise you.
Oh yeah, if everybody should with that, with the way the salary cap's gonna be going up this summer, absolutely they should. The prediction, I've already said Warriors in five games. I think Cleveland gets at least one. And here's my other prediction before I give you yours. Game one, I think Golden State wins by 20 plus. I think they're going to win by 20 plus in that game one. I got a feeling.
I don't know what happened to the Jordan Clarkson that played for the Lakers. He's disappeared like last
He's
month
still on
half.
The West Coast.
Yeah. If I know it's a big if he can find any semblance of the game that he had with the Lakers for like the past two seasons that he played with the Lakers and he can somehow blend that with LeBron, they'll make it interesting. I'm not putting this all on Jordan Clarkson. Obviously, you know, the onus is on LeBron and what he can do and winning his matchup. He'll win his matchup, whether you put Durant on him, whether you put Klay on him, whether you put Draymond on him. There's nobody on that team that can – only person that can take LeBron James out is LeBron James. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think Kevin Love will – he'll have a good series. They might have to do something that they're not accustomed. Again, I wished in one hand, take the crap in the other, see which one fills up the fastest, right?
Right.
I wish Houston had did something uncharacteristic, that, and they probably would still been playing. If they could find some post ups for Kevin Love, you know. That might be the key to force it seven. I still don't think they can make it a seven game series though.
Okay.
But because right now they just kind of use Kevin Love as a spot up shooter, wing shooter, and he gets rebounds defensively and offensively, and you know very hardly any touches in the post, very rarely.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how much he wants to actually get in the post and play too. You know, he almost rather stay outside. You'd think.
Dude, it's championship, man. You gotta. How I would hype him up if I'm a coach, dude. If you beat the Golden State Warriors, how special would it be if you I know LeBron will get all the credit and blah, 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 but like the team, if the Cleveland Cavaliers beat this Golden State Warrior team, like they can retire.
Well, they need to wrap. Well, they need to put Kevin Love in some bubble wrap because the boy is glass, and I don't even know if he's going to be able to survive a 7-game series. He may get hurt again. He's not even clear for game one right now. That's why I think they're going to win by 20, at least. If he doesn't play, they'll win by 20. Because it sure as hell George Hill and Jordan Clarkson and J.R. Smith, they ain't going to step up. J.R. is just earning a paycheck.
Yeah, J.R. is just, I can't believe he makes as much money as he does now. But he's super streaky. They will have a good game. They'll come home. They change up the format too. Then it's no longer 2-3-2. They go back with some forwards now, right?
I think so.
I don't think they do 2-3-2.
I'll look it up while you're talking.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, the 2-3-2 format I thought got disbanded. But
covering up some dead air. Let's see. So it's at Warriors, at Cleveland. Yep, 2-2-1-1-1, which is what it always should have been. So
the 2-3-2 benefited the home, benefited the away team, so that it added more drama. It basically added more drama.
Yeah,
that team could win 3 home games.
So we've got a game this Thursday, 9:00,
mm-hmm.
and then you get 2 days off. No Friday, no Saturday. You play Sunday night at 8:00. Then you get 2 more days off. Then you're on a Wednesday, and then you get Thursday off. You're back on Friday for game 4. Off Saturday and Sunday, back Monday, and then 3 days off. Tuesday, Wednesday off for game 6, and then 2 more days off for game 7. My God, they don't need that many days off. Just do one. Unless you're changing venues, just do one. I mean, this series ain't going past Monday, June 11th. That's game 5.
No.
That's when it's going to be
a wrap. Absolutely. So, you can get ready. We'll be talking about Summer League on the next call.
Absolutely. That and free agency. Definitely. All right. Two last things. I didn't know if you saw today, with you being a Hoosier fan, Juwan Morgan announced he is coming back to the Hoosiers next season. So the roster
right
is
back up there.
Yeah, the roster
right
is full. So IU definitely.
Maybe Bo Wagner will get. I don't know if he signed an agent, free agent, or not a free agent, but with an agent yet from Michigan. If he comes back, then you know it'd be IU and the Hoosiers 1-2. But that's good news. Good news about Juwan.
We'll find out tomorrow about Carson Edwards. He still has not announced what his plans are. I would think he's going to come back, but I don't know.
I know the coach was talking very, very positive and like not downplaying it, but just very talking openly about it, about him coming back and having a big season where more part of the offense type he that kid can obviously score, but playing point, he'd have to play point guard in the NBA. And I think that's going to be a little bit something that he's not accustomed to. But I can't remember on what show I was listening to, but thinking he could be a special kind of season for him next year, but to average somewhere like upwards of 21 to 25 points a game.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently he's been doing his practices and drills and being compared and working with Damian Lillard from Portland. They're comparing as he could be up to that level coming out of college, like he was from Weber State.
He better come back.
I think he's going to come back another year. Shout out Brandon Brantley. If you can talk him into
the grade 8 and show me what you got, bro. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Come back and make it to the grade 8.
Elite 8 now. Come on. You're aging yourself. You need the grade 8 since the early 90s.
It ain't been the grade 8 for quite some time, has it?
Boy. You're talking Glenn Robinson, Brian Evans era then.
Absolutely. Ray LaFrenz.
Final thing, we're 99 days away from opening night in the NFL season. We're finally in the double digits. I'm going to put you on a quick spot here right now. You can change it by the time we get this August, November, this August or September. Who's winning the Super Bowl right now?
Woo!
Don't you dare Ooh. Say that team.
Oh, man, I'm sorry, Brandon. It ain't going to be Pittsburgh.
Oh, I knew you probably weren't going to say them. We got some figuring out to do with that team still.
They're going
to
rob everybody back, and, you know, I wouldn't go against them. You should have asked me who's going to win the AFC.
Well, NFC.
It ain't
going
to
be the NFC.
Andrew Luck might have to start throwing the football before I can believe anything.
He looks good.
I know
good.
The improvements to that team, but not
Did you
good.
See
yeah,
him this weekend?
Good. Yeah, but he's not wrestling WWE. He's not wrestling Randy.
Boy.
He's trying to win a football game.
Son's got guns out. So, do you think
yeah,
New England?
I'd have to go. No way I go against the Eagles. No way I go against the Eagles. And
okay,
I'm not
so
a fan.
The Eagles.
No way I go against the Eagles. There's too much trepidation going on. There's too many. That house is not – that house up in New England is not whole. Something ain't right about that house at all.
Well – The foundation's there. I don't know if it's rotten or what now, but
yeah. But everybody's not on the same page, Brandon. And I don't have no problem with it at all. But everybody's
yeah.
not on the same page at all.
Well, we'll get to the NFL later on this August, this September. I'm sure we'll have some of those calls because I'll need the Birdsong recap every week of the Colts game and what. We'll call it therapy. The therapy. So, but now, John, thanks for joining us again. We'll watch out this NBA Finals here, see how it goes, and we'll get together after the finals are over and they cut those nets down and give out those trophies, and we'll talk a little bit, right, recapping the finals, and then we'll go to our offseason, the favorite time of the year for free agency signings.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again, Brandon. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yep.
You have a nice night, bro.
Thank you, buddy. Take care.
Uh-huh.
All right. That was Jonathan Birdsong there joining us. We've got a call on the line. Let's take it here, see who we got. You're on Crossroads Radio. Who is this?
Hi, this is Nick. And I was watching the Celtics and the Cavaliers the other night. I just thought to myself, wow, there's so many niggers on that court.
All right, we've dropped that call. Don't need to be having those words on the line here. But what we're going to do is we're going to go to a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we'll actually kind of recap the Indy 500 that we had to experience and kind of have my 4 days there I had and how they went. Today's show is brought to you by Drone Pro Media. Drone Pro Media delivers top-quality drone services with expertise and professionalism. Specializing in aerial photography and videography, using the highest quality drone equipment, Drone Pro Media is eager to provide you with outstanding aerial videos and photos for your next project. Visit them at dronemedia.com. That's DroneProMedia.com. Also, give them a call at 317-883-7404. That's Drone Pro Media, taking your flights to new heights. Hey guys, coming downtown for a night on the town, that big sporting event or that concert, be sure to stay at the Omni Severn Hotel, located at 40 West Jackson Place for your hotel accommodation needs. Look us up at www.omnihotels.com or 1-800-THE-OMNI for your accommodations. While you're there, be sure to check out the 1913 restaurant, The Wine Thief, and the Severin Bar for your entertainment option. All right, we are back. We just had the Indy 500 this past weekend. Will Power winning the race. Team Penske giving Roger Penske his 17th Indy 500 title. Will Power had a strong car all weekend. You know, he came up through the pack there, through about 100 laps. My pick, Ed Carpenter, finishing second place after on the pole, dominated the first half of the race. I really thought Ed was going to get it, and actually was going to try to win some money off of that with the 30-1 odds that we had with him. But unfortunately, did not happen there. We have Scott Dixon finishing third, Alexander Rossi with a tremendous comeback from 32nd, starting 32nd all the way to fourth, then Ryan Hunter-Reay. Finishing fifth. I really thought Joseph Newgarden, who finished in eighth spot, was going to have a better run than he did. It just seemed he could never actually get his car up there for the run. Looking through the pack, Tony Kanaan finished in 25th overall. TK had a hell of a run and then had to come back in for a punctured tire. That kind of ended his day. Never made another run up there. Three-time champion Elio Castroneves. Castroneves was running really well up there, top of the pack, and I was going to figure he was going to make a late run there in the race, and then he just lost it out of turn four with these new chassis and these new cars. The DW12 cars that we've ran the last 6 years had a lot of passing, was able to bring a lot of passing, a lot of slingshot moves and such. This new car, not so much. It put it in the driver's hands. The drivers had to actually drive these cars to victory. It wasn't just being in the right spot and slingshotting. The drivers actually loved this type of car. The fans, if back and forth, didn't really like it so much. So I'm sure IndyCar's going to go back to the drawing board and see what they can develop for a better race next year that they had. And then everybody's favorite, Danica Patrick, finished in 30th. She crashed off of turn two, hitting the wall herself, spinning out. And then Danica being Danica, as always, in the post game or in the post race, not answering questions right and just being a sourpuss at the end of her career, her IndyCar. So good rinse to Danica. See you when you see you. Time of the race was 2 hours and 59 minutes, just under 3 hours. Average speed was 166. Was not the fastest race, but it was not the slowest race. Margin of victory was 3 seconds. Anticlimactic when you get Jack Harvey going in the pits, Stefan Wilson both going into the pits with 5 laps to go. That opened the door for Will Power. And obviously Will Power did not look back and ran away with it. Was good to see Will winning. I think I had him to pick the win last year, and he finally did this year. So props to him. Like I said, the Indy 500 being there, that experience was definitely a lot of fun. Qualifications, getting to talk to everybody, doing the interviews, finding out where to be, being up in the media center, a great experience there. Going back into the garages, definitely was a fun experience to be in. So thank you, IMS, once again, for the credentials, being able to cover the Indy 500. We look forward to doing it again next year and even building upon the access that we had and the production that we had with the videos and the audio and stuff. So definitely looking to improve that. But I want to thank you guys for joining us today. This will be up on iTunes here later this evening, also up on the Facebook. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Crossroads, also at crossroadsports.us. The website, and be sure to check out other future podcasts and on iTunes at our Crossroads Sports album tag there. So this will be up a little bit later this evening, and be sure to like it and share it, and make sure you subscribe for future episodes. Thank you guys for joining us today. We'll get at you again after the NBA Finals. Enjoy them.
Crossroads Sports.